Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together. Hi, Maisie. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me again.
So happy to have you here. So you've been a guest a couple of times. You were a guest before you were published because we met in the pandemic in the midst of what was 2020. What was that like? And then I think you came to the show as a debut author a year later. And then we've taken a break, but that's totally fine. We're just revisiting our friendship. At the time that we last saw each other, I was living in Chicago, as I was telling you, and you were living in Philly, or you were about to move? Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I was moving in Philly, and then now I'm in Asheville, North Carolina. And so, yeah, we're both just migrating around.
We're just taking the road trip tour of the U.S., the good old U.S.
Essentially. Yeah. That's a very shiny way to look at it.
Yeah, you move to like the area where it's like, it's peaceful, there's nature, it's nice, out of Philly, which is very urban. I moved out of New York and Chicago into the beach and Tampa where people vacation, you know. I think both of our places people vacation to, because there's a lot of like people who go to Asheville for, you know, the Biltmore State and all the fun stuff.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, it's tourist city, and we get the leaf lickers in the fall, and like, yeah, so it's very touristy for sure.
It is. So tell us a bit of, tell us what you've been up to other than just moving and writing.
Yeah, let's see. I've published a couple books, which has been cool. And yeah, I've been working. I work full time as a dentist still. So I'm balancing both. You know, I still have my cats, Yaya and Zadie. And so 90% of my time and energy revolves around them and their well-being and livelihood. And then, yeah, I'm getting married at the end of May. So that's exciting too. I mean, I don't know. It's like, I feel like everything's kind of changed and then nothing at the same time.
Yeah, it really comes down to like there's some major life events, and at the same time, just kind of like you just have to survive the day to day, you know.
For sure. It's like just big vibes, and then yeah, just these like massive milestones.
Yeah. And how does it being a stage mom to your two cats? Because I love this. You've been a stage mom to your two cats for years. This is not brand new. This is not something that came up. This is like you got inspiration and you're like, I am their stage mom.
Oh, for sure. I mean, it's just like, it's, you know, it's endless making sure that they are happy and content, because I've never met two divas quite like this. And then one of them has definitely like an anxiety disorder like her mother. And then the other one has never been burdened with a thought. Like it is just elevator music up there, but yet also mayhem. Like it's like if something can be destroyed, it will be. But then they're just so cute. And like, so yeah, I can't invest in anything. Oh my God. Like when I got engaged, it was like the first day I had my ring, and I had set it on the counter to take a shower in like a little dish that I had. And then it was probably an hour later when I was going to bed, I was like, oh, I got to put my ring back on. And I realized that it was just like gone. And we could not find it. We were like tearing up the house. I was like, I think when my cats ate it, and then I was like panicked. And then finally we found it like deep under the bed, because one of them had like picked it up and was like batting it and like all that shit. I was like, I mean, so now I just like don't take my ring off, because I was like, I can't go through that again. Like that shaved years off of my life.
Like a big ring was the next puck, you know, little thing. They're just like pucking around.
Literally, I mean, literally, and like, it's just like anything that I have, it's theirs. It's like I get a box of books, and they're like in it. They're chewing on the pages. They're eating it. It's just like, so yeah. I mean, that is my. I would say that's my first full time job, and then writing is my second full time job, and then silly little dentistry is my third full time job.
It's a lot to juggle. It's a lot to juggle with. Awesome. All right, let's talk about how you're juggling writing, being a full-time stage mom, and being a dentist, because there's probably a method to the madness, but it's probably madness.
Yeah, gosh, mental illness is probably the method to the madness. No, just kidding. I would say, yeah, I think I'm very lucky for one that like I have a partner and kind of like a lifestyle that allows me to write in my free time, whether that's when I get home from work or on the weekends or early mornings or things like that, which is such a godsend. And then the other aspect to it too is just like kind of stealing away in every quiet moment that I can to do the writing portion and kind of sink into that. And also just kind of figuring out a way to pace things. I think one of the greatest things I've learned over the past couple of years is it's good to have like a habit of writing every day. And there's that old adage about like write every day. But I also have learned that like some days it's just not worth it to force it. And the burnout is it will have such bigger lasting effects if you don't just kind of like listen and shut down when you need to, because you can get into the zone and pump out a ton of words when you feel that like inspiration and things like that. But there, I've learned that there's not actually a ton of value in just like pushing myself to get words on the page sometimes.
Yeah, I think that's like the value of like just going with the flow and just showing up. Your job is to
For
show
sure.
up, and when you're ready to show up, like things will work out the way they're supposed to, but you just have to show up. That's your job. Show up. You need to write, write. If you can't get words, then you do something else, but you're showing up to the habit, and the habit shows itself in too.
100%. And I think too that we think of writing as like, the part we I think we as a society like think of things very much in like what are we producing, with our work output. And so words on the page is like the product, or that's how we've thought about it. But there's so much more to it, where like the daydreaming phase and kind of letting like the characters incubate, and then also trying to forget about them and just like zoning out and watching TV or movies or other creative art forms and things like that are so just like regenerative for like the creative muscle and stuff like that. And so there's so much more that goes into writing than the actual writing. And so yeah, just like kind of stepping back and like embracing like the quietness on of the in-between moments is really, really important.
Yeah, and I think we just need to move away from the idea that we need the productive horses. Like we're just like producing, producing, producing. When the reality is that there are seasons that we're not going to produce, and there are seasons that we're going to overly produce. And sometimes our 100% or 200% that we normally put out is just as good enough as our 50% or 20% that we have the energy. And sometimes it's just like just trusting what comes. Like, I struggle with perfectionism and anxiety and all those different things. And it's like my job is to do progress. It's not to do perfect. It's not to stop and wait till it's perfect. It's just progress and page, and then refine and do it and just go back to it and just keep taking the action and not thinking about the outcome, because the outcome is like that's where it gets daunting, but just thinking about the process of journey, which sounds cliche, but it's that's
No,
where
I mean,
the is.
I couldn't agree with you more. Yeah, it's 100% about, and I think that that's the other thing too, is once we start looking, especially with like creative fields and art and like the commodification of art and like having people paying for it, this product essentially of a book, it's really easy to lose like the joy and just the fun of creating that thing. And yeah, I mean, just prioritizing like the joy of it is probably the most important part to the process.
Yeah, I love this. All right, so let's talk about late bloomer because I have many questions. So the first one is we got to talk about what's the elevator pitch?
Oh my gosh, yeah. A down on her luck, kooky, chaotic bisexual wins the lottery and does the very reasonable thing of buying property off of Facebook Marketplace. And she buys a failing flower farm that she plans on converting into like her art and create her artistic studio and living space. But when she shows up on the property, a grumpy, gorgeous woman named Pepper claims to actually be the rightful owner of the property. And then the two are forced to work together to part ways. And some feelings take root, but along the way.
All right, so there's a couple questions, but the first one is, if you won the lottery, what would you do?
I said this earlier, but if I won the lottery, I wouldn't tell anybody, but there would be signs. And the signs would be a ton of cats and probably me on a flower farm where I'm
Your
just
cat
like dissolving
cafe, maybe you can do a cat cafe or cat sanctuary, where people a cat co-working space where you have a bunch of cats, and then just like you. That's can you monetize it, the passive income, whatever it is, or the flower
Yeah, I
farm.
mean, yeah. I just like the idea of just like dissolving into the dirt. And no, if I won the, yeah, I think like if I won the lottery, there'd be a lot of different endeavors that I would be parsing money out for. But yeah, a lot of them focused on cats, coffee, and flowers, I would say.
I have to say, it sounds like a good, smart idea to
Yeah.
spend your money wisely, just not on the Facebook Marketplace,
Well, the whole reason that was in there is because so it was originally Craigslist, and my editor was like, I don't think anybody uses Craigslist. The whole reason I
Really?
did that is because I
I
use
use
Craigslist.
Craigslist. I Craigslist like for 20 years. That's how I found all my New York apartments. All my New York apartments were through Craigslist. Back in the day, I even talked to, you remember Miss Encounters, those people. I have pen pals because we're in 2003, we're lawless. We did not know what we're doing. And I was like,
Oh my God.
oh, let me give this a try. And I met people that way.
Oh my God.
Craigslist was like, was lawless, was just, but it
Oh
had
yeah.
everything. It's just, it was like a millennial dream.
Oh yeah. And I think, I mean, honestly, I still feel like it's pretty lawless, like in almost like the literal sense of the word too. But yeah, I mean, I have found all of my apartments from Craigslist, and like I have like put money, like the deposit and like 2 months rent, like sight unseen. And so then my editor being like, I don't think anybody would do this. Like I was like, oh, maybe I need to like reevaluate like how I find shelter.
No, I used Craigslist. The last time I used it was 2019. When I found my apartment, when I wanted to move out, I found roommates on Craigslist. I lived about 11 years in Jersey City in this like beautiful brownstone, and we had a revolving roll, and we just had an ongoing Craigslist, ad for roommate. So I found roommates through Craigslist, and then when I moved to Chicago, I had a realtor because realtors are kind of like sketchy in New York. They charge you for realtor fees. I'm not paying broker's fee. Like, why would I pay you to show me an apartment? Like, this is ridiculous. And so Chicago was free, and I was like, well, I'm going to take care of that. And then in Tampa, it's you have to look at apartment complexes and then go see them and try to compete with them. So it's a little bit different. But for major urban cities, yeah, Craigslist is the way to go.
Hell yeah. Yeah, and so, yeah, I don't know about like small rural towns because then again, it does kind of get like into Deliverance territory. So I can see why that wouldn't work out so much. But yeah, I mean, I was just like, yeah, that's how I've been doing it and everything. Yeah, and so then I was like thinking about all the ways that could have gone horribly wrong. And now we have late bloomer.
Yeah, and now we have late bloomer who's telling us like I was like, because I just got recently scammed by someone in Marketplace trying to sell my Peloton, and so I was like, I was stressed out when I was reading that passage. I was like, oh oh my gosh, she's gonna get scammed, she's gonna get scammed, she's gonna get scammed, because I associate Margaret Place with scammers, like that's really what it comes down to. It and yes, but it has a happy ending, so which we're fine, like that was the only good news. It was like my exciting moment was like, she'll have a happy ending out of this, she'll figure it out, she'll get a partner and she'll get a house, you know. Her needs will be met.
Eventually. Her needs will be met, at least the very basic ones.
Yes. The other part that I love was that we got a virgin heroine, but not a typical virgin heroine. Like someone who just basically like, because I think sometimes it's like the meek and the stuff, like purity culture. And it's like, no, this is not at all. It's just the person who they are. And I know you like the virgin male hero and the historical romance. Was this a homage to that idea of like, you know?
Oh gosh, I do love that trope in historical romance. Like I eat that up. But no, I didn't even think about it in that sense necessarily. Because usually when I do that, I do a lot of nods to like, because I cut my teeth on historical romance, like that's how I got into the genre. And usually I do try to do nods on like the really popular historical romance tropes. But this one was more so, Pepper's autistic, and she also has just horrible trust issues with people. And so much of like her sexuality and just her intimate relationships with both, you know, friends, family, and romantic relationships, it's very guarded. And I thought that fit very well for her, where it's like she doesn't let people in emotionally, and for her and like her sensory processing things as well, it was too much of like a risk to just kind of like randomly hook up with people, you know, which totally was something that I explored or like thought about with her, and like would she have like experience one way or another. But yeah, for her it just kind of fit that, and you know, I think that there's a line in there too, because she had been living with her grandma for, you know, the majority of her adult life, and she's like, it's not very easy to just like bang randos when you live with your grandma, which is so true. She's not wrong for that. But yeah, it was just like, it was something that I wanted to explore. And I just like, I also wanted to explore like the context of, you know, quote unquote, like virginity with queer characters as well. And like kind of what that looks like for them, because, you know, virginity is a social construct. And like, I think so is, you know, like the binary of sexuality and things like that. And so yeah, it was just like a neat lens to look through and explore, and I had so much fun with it. But that being said, like my dream is to one day write like just like the tropiest virgin hero in a historical romance. Like one day I wanna do that. Like that's on my bucket list. Even if I'm the only one that reads it.
I would read that book for sure. And I can identify with Pepper's trauma, and like in some ways the abandonment, the issue is like the uncertainty, the place of like just being displaced over and over and being like dropped in a place and not having to communicate and having a parent who is not a parent. And a lot of the actions that we take now as an adult, even though we are safe, we're sabotaging, we're picking things apart, we're not trusting the others, we're doing, so a lot of our actions are informed by what happened in the childhood. And so I appreciate, sometimes we explore grief and that's like a major plot point, but sometimes we gotta explore bad parents who we're not supposed to have kids, you know?
Like
not everyone should be a parent. I know in this world, everyone, they want to make sure that we're cow cattle and birthing all the time. The reality is not everyone should be a mother.
No, 100%. Yeah, and I think it's also interesting to kind of look at this concept of like somebody might have given birth to you, but that doesn't mean that they were ever a parent to you either, you know? Yeah. And so like I've always been really just fascinated with like, you know, the kind of like expectations that we place on family and like, you know, blood relatives and things like that, where I think the most profound relationships that we actually form as people are the people that we choose to include in our lives and like find those important moments and connect with. So yeah, I totally agree with you too, where it's just like, you know, kind of just exploring, you know, those childhood wounds and things like that. Yeah. And yeah, not everybody's meant to be a parent.
Yeah. I understand that completely. So let's talk about book recommendations. So Do you have any books you have read that you enjoy, or do you want to recommend our listeners to pick up after reading Late Bloomer and reading your backlist titles?
Yeah, well, okay, so this is like, it couldn't be more different from Late Bloomer. So I am on a reread of Ninth House by Leigh Bardugo right now. Oh my God. So I read it and then I instantly wanted to reread it with my fiance. So like we're reading it together and I mean, it's so freaking good. And like, so I can't wait to get to Hellbent, the second book in the series. And like, I just like it. I mean, I can't stop thinking about that fucking book. And like the other thing too is like I just, not to like, I can't ever shut off my romance brain. Like I know that this is like a very dark, like dark academic fantasy or academia fantasy and things like that, but I also think that Darlington is just like ready to eat some pussy. Like I think that that man deserves it. I feel like it needs to happen in book three because somebody has spoiled book two for me. But like I am just, I feel that, like, you know, redemption for his cunnilingus arc. So that was a tangent. And then another book that's a little bit more in the same vein as my writing is, there's a book coming out this summer called The Calculation of You and Me by Serena Kaler. It's a YA romance and Serena's autistic and her main character is autistic, and this book is such a freaking delight. And so her main character gets dumb, and a lot of it is because she doesn't kind of like conform to like these normal teen standards and things like that. And so she basically recruits like the high school kind of like loner guy who works at a bookstore to teach her all about romance by having her read romance books and like learn about tropes and stuff. It is so good and it's amazing autistic rep. I can't recommend that one enough. And then do you mind if I do one more? Alexandra Vossi is a historical romance author, and she has a debut full length coming out this summer called Ne'er Do Quell, which is such a clever, clever title. But she also has three novellas out too, called The Halifax Hellions, and it follows these three siblings. And I am just like so excited to live in a time where she's debuting books, or like, you know, where she's just like just hitting the scene, because like I swear that she's about to be like game changing. Like it's like if Tessa Dare and Lisa Kleypas like had a sexy baby. Like that's what her writing is like. Ooh. To me. Yeah. So yeah, I mean there's so many good books out there, but those are some that I've read and just like absolutely loved recently.
Oh my gosh, I have a story for Ninth House. So I went to BEA in 2019. Yeah, 2019. I was like, the podcast was almost there, was there, was not there, whatever. And I went there and I knew Ninth House was going to be a big one. And it was an arc. And it was like literally the Hunger Games for that BEA. Like I had to go there at 6 o'clock in the morning to be first in line so I can run to the Macmillan tickets area so I can get the tickets so I can go and make a line later on that day so Lee can actually sign the arc. I ended up losing the arc, by the way, but it's a different story.
No!
But it was like, it was a whole thing just to get that arc, and then reading the book and then be like, wait, I'm not going to get book two until like years later. Like what is happening, Lee? You need to like, book two.
It is so cruel of Lee to put these books out without the whole series being written. It like, it feels like a personal attack on my sanity. Yeah. And like, I am upset.
Yes. But I know at the time Lee was talking about, but I feel like we're not talking enough about Ninth House and Hellbent and the series. Or even, I know she has a familiar coming in, but like we need to talk more about those. Like we got Sarah Day Mass. We got it. I love it and whatever. But we gotta talk about this series, because this series is just as good.
Oh yeah. I mean, yeah, I cannot stop thinking that. Like, I read the book and then immediately bought a paperback copy, and I've been reading it every night before bed to me and my fiance, because I'm just like, it's so good.
Yeah, check the trigger warnings, because there's some really big triggers in it. Like, before, just protect your safety, protect your health. But it's just such a good book. Like, I just want to be Yale and be in the secret society, because that's really what it comes down
I
to. Yale
know.
and secret
I
society.
know. Which one do you think you'd be in? Or which one would you want to be in? And then which one would you actually be in? Because I feel like they're different.
I don't know. It's a hard choice. It's a
Yeah.
hard choice.
It is. I feel like, oh, go ahead.
I feel like Skulls and Bones, I think like it would be like that's where you want to be. That's a popular one. But chances are I'm not gonna be there. Like, it's just gonna be like, the side one and stuff like that. Like, it's essentially like the way I compare myself is like I'm probably Gretchen Wiener. And like, I keep a lot of secrets and I keep a lot of receipts. And this is like in my personal life. I love tea. I love chisme. I share with my friends. This is like part of the group chat. And so I'm probably gonna find myself like attached to whatever Queen Bee is and keep all the receipts for her enemies, Like, keep myself indispensable in my world,
I love that. Yes, I love that. That's so true. And honestly, I love tea too. I love like innocuous gossip where it's like it's so far removed from me, and I will, there's not a chance that I will ever meet any of these people, and I devour it. I cannot get enough of innocuous
I
tea.
feel like my personal calling, and I grew up in a culture where we call it chisme. It's like it's a pretty known thing, and it was like not a negative connotation. Like, it's just part of it. We have like a gossip show like every day and all these different things. So it was like pretty compatible of it. And like, I in the aughts, I used to treat myself to Us Weekly. When before social media, I was like, Us Weekly was the magazine, and like, I used to be like consuming about it. And it was like, I don't like I just consume it. Maybe I have like my group chat and I talk shit about it, and that's just part of it. But I'm not doing harm by doing that. Like, I enjoy it. It is fine. And so I consider myself curator of good tea and good entertainment to my friends.
100%. And I think that's the best way to frame it too. You're curator of tea. Like that is so like perfect. I love that.
Yes. So how about you? Which house do you see yourself?
I would love to be in, oh gosh, which one is the one that where like the actual house is like the Nile? Is that Scroll and Key?
Yep, I think so.
Yeah, that one seems really cool, but I feel like I'm not cool enough to be in that one, so then I would probably just end up in like the St. Elmo where it's like not real, but like it like
Yeah.
exists, but like it's like very like lame and like nobody really cares about it. They like do
It
weather, yeah, it's like disbanded, they like do weather stuff. I'm like, yeah, that's probably where I'd end up.
There you go. Awesome. Okay, Maisie, tell us where we can find you online.
Oh, where can you find me online? Okay, Jennings.com. That better work too because I have been battling with my website. So hopefully that's correct.
Yeah.
And then I'm Maisie Eddings on Instagram and my gosh, I can't even think of any other. Oh, TikTok, it's at FoxyGrandpa27. And then also I have a newsletter, which is another good spot to find me.
Thank you, Macy, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me. This was so fun.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the Watch Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the Watch Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading! Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyourreadsblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.